15th of February in the afternoon, with Azita, Vince, Nina, Sarah, Jonathan, Betty, Christine, Sukin, Nancy and Ivan.
Asking about the right speech of the Eightfold Path is a Jeddah seeker. I'm wondering how a Jeddah seeker can have anything to do with speech. Like we say, it's right speech, but
what
it's one Jeddah seeker.
Which conditions speech?
The Jeddah seeker that conditions speech.
Yeah. Is there any Jeddah seeker which conditions speech?
Oh, I suppose a lot of them can condition speech. Really, like Lopa could condition speech.
Lopa itself clings. Lopa clings.
Dosa
can be dosa without speech.
Yeah, but dosa can, usually does influence.
What actually conditions speech?
Vitaka
conditions
yes.
speech.
Yes.
And so thinking conditions speech.
Do you think before you speak?
Well, sometimes I do. Sometimes you just go
all the time.
So in jhana. People who develop jhana and they come to higher jhana, they have no vitaka anymore and later no conditions for speech. It stops.
So, okay, how come it's right speech to just write vitaka?
Not speaking the evil speech.
Abstention. Virati chetusika. Abstention from ill speech.
So keeping one's mouth shut.
But you can keep your mouth shut with dosha.
Yeah.
It's possible.
But then if it's still right speech, though, isn't it?
No
speech.
No.
Well, it's not wrong speech if there's no speech.
When there is no speech.
Then it's not wrong speech.
It's not wrong speech, nor right speech, because there is no speech.
Well, it's better no speech than wrong speech. Basically, the vitaka is based on dosha. You're not going to change that. That's the way it is.
It depends on whether there is condition for speech or not.
Well, that's what one says in a colloquial sense, that if one has dosa in one's head, in one's mind, thinking with dosa, with aversion, then it's better just to keep quiet. Because at least then one... See, this is just colloquial, old-fashioned wisdom.
It depends on Dhamma at that moment, to speak or not to speak.
That's right. But you know, it's like ideas and thoughts and discussions are all a condition for awareness. And understanding not to speak when there's dosa in the mind is a level of that too. And that in itself conditions one to keep quiet sometimes.
Each moment is conditioned.
That's right. So the thought that it's best to keep your mouth shut when you've got dosa is the condition to keep your mouth shut, which is better.
Each moment.
Isn't the point that one tends to kind of make a little story about it, or it's better to keep quiet and then it's not wrong speech or whatever, but actually it just depends on the citta at each moment, the moment of abstaining from wrong speech with the kusala, but then one could keep quiet with a lot of dosa. And
see, the difference between Sarah and I, see, Achan, she's English, my family's Italian, you see, so I have more experience about speech than she does. What happens is with speech, is that when people have thoughts...
What about the Thai, who always
speak?
They're
very disciplined. They're
not always.
Not like the Italians, let me assure you.
Usually the Italians are about the same.
If they have something on their mind...
It comes right out.
Yeah. See, what happens, Achan, what I've noticed with speech is that when something comes... When you have the habit to just bring it straight out, the speaking accentuates the thought process. It's almost like it makes it work. I've noticed this with people that... They have the thought, a negative thought, and they say it, and the speech then magnifies it more and more, and the story gets bigger and bigger. It's like a snowball in the snow, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger until they get exhausted and then they stop.
It melts too.
Sorry?
The snowball melts too.
The snowball melts.
Oh, yeah, it does. It melts in the end. But usually they're exhausted and everybody's hurt and wounded in the meantime, and you have people crying, and it's just all, you know, it's chaos, you know.
The Thai too. Everybody.
Yeah. We know we all have a lot of akusala most of the time. You can't say the person who speaks a lot has more akusala or something.
It's true what Sarah's saying, but I mean it in the sense that wrong speech tends to accentuate the story.
We don't know what's going on in other people's minds. For instance, a story can snowball in the mind.
That's true. That's true. And that's why people sometimes end up killing people, because they don't...
They suppress the speech.
But I think that when there is right understanding, one cannot know that the speech is conditioned by such and such, because it's all out already. So who knows?
Well, if someone's been yelling and screaming and hitting you, and you can have a fair guess.
But the person doesn't know at all.
No, the person doesn't know. But don't they reflect afterwards? We all have those moments where there's negativity, and at the moment we're absorbed in those negativities. But then when we reflect afterwards, we can reflect and say, I can see that.
Different thinking. It doesn't mean that the person who does not speak does not think. No matter who, they must be thinking after seeing, hearing.
Do you think that's useful to reflect afterwards about unwholesome speech?
If there are conditions.
So you wouldn't recommend it?
The teachings tell us all about everything. So when we read and consider, we can understand that there is no self who can do anything but can understand whatever appears. That is already conditioned. Otherwise, one cannot develop understanding at all if nothing appears.
The thing is that, Archan, very little awareness in our daily lives.
But what about if it's small or very much, many, many in a day?
Usually there isn't.
But if?
If there is, well, that's great.
Great. Or no conditions for its arising, just thinking that it's there when it's not.
But the point I was going to make is, if there isn't the awareness during the day, and we go about fumbling through our day and having unwholesomeness and saying this silly thing and that silly thing, then we want to break that. A level of understanding is that we realize this is not helpful. It's not helpful for ourselves, it's not helpful for other people. So one way to break that perhaps might be to consider and think.
Instead of thinking about having more awareness, what about more understanding?
Well, that's what I mean. To have understanding, you've got to right now we're thinking. Understanding.
Thinking with understanding or without understanding?
No, with understanding.
So it's all right, because there is understanding develops little by little. Otherwise, there must be the wish to have more awareness, only wishing. But it's not the understanding of moment which appears. So no way to have more awareness if there is no understanding of reality, better and better. To see that no one can control. And reality is just a reality arising and falling away. This should be very well established from life to life. Otherwise, there is no way to eliminate the lopa at all. Anytime when there is the idea of wanting to have less lopa, it's because of lopa which conditions such thinking.
Ms. Dosa?
It depends on feeling at that moment.
Could one not say, from Vince's point of view, having less wrong speech is a consideration to others?
What about having it but not knowing it as it is? One might be proud of oneself that one is so good, so nice, but what about the understanding? It's still I who's so good.
And whether it's spoken or not spoken, it's conditioned that way.
But I understand what you're saying, I agree with that, but it would seem to me like the first thing is to learn to perhaps, if we can avoid hurting others through our ignorance, that would seem to me the first issue.
But it means that you do not trust Panya. You think that Panya cannot do anything.
Well, we have to trust Panya.
Without
Panya, can there be more kusala? Or whenever there is more and more Panya, kusala can be more than usual. But little by little, no attachment, no clinging to wanting to have panya, wanting to have awareness. That is not panya. But when panya arises, it can understand realities as they are, as the self. That is less clinging to the self with panya.
I'll probably ask this every time I come. But it is coming out of the society I come out of. And I mean,
mentioned this a little while ago to you, that there's a goal, there's a something that you're aiming for, and there are steps on the way to achieve the goal. And it's hard to hear what I hear here. We've got a friend on another list that talks about, and when it's brought up, I can't refute it, others can, about being helpless and hopeless unless you've got a plan and steps to follow. I did understand when you were talking to me before, but I forget, and I'm back in a society where you plan things and you achieve little individual goals, and it does seem a little helpless and hopeless and wafting around on the ocean without a way to get from here to there, to have less of all the defilements and to have more understanding.
Excuse me, how far is your goal? What about the very near goal in order to reach the far goal?
Yes.
If there is no near goal, it's impossible to reach the far goal.
The near goal being
this moment.
And yes, I knew.
Yeah,
I knew
yeah.
I was
going to say. So there can be near goal each moment of understanding.
The near goal, understanding the present moment, but
the condition
it occurs or it happens
to get the far goal.
So I can choose. Can I?
No. Then it's further and further when there is thinking of choosing.
But one of the suttas that says, I think it was Sariputta and the Buddha, and it was that one that talks about hearing.
Now the goal is postponing all the time. See? The more we think about it, the more no understanding of reality right now, the goal is further and further.
So
yeah, moving away.
Really, there's nothing we can do. Get a degree in Pali studies, go into a six-month retreat or something, that isn't going to...
Does it help you understand reality of this moment?
I don't know, if you're setting aside the time, would...
For example, now there is seeing. By studying Pali or by going somewhere else, can it support the understanding of reality right now?
Probably no more.
So the goal is moving away again, further and further.
But wouldn't devoting some time, 10-day retreat, wouldn't devoting some time, not with the busyness
what
of the world...
What great understanding you get from that is not the understanding of reality which is conditioned as conditioned reality, no self.
So there's no way to hurry anything up?
The goal is moving further.
This whole idea of going to a retreat and doing such things, associated with that is that it's leading you somewhere. And that's where you find it attractive.
But the same way I find coming from Brisbane to Bangkok to be in discussions, it's the same that somehow that's going to be a benefit. It's no different to going to the Blue Mountains or somewhere to be in a Vipassana retreat with the thought that somehow that may be of benefit.
Well, in here you have your experience also to inform you. In the past, you've gained some understanding by coming here, right? Mm-hmm. That can be a condition for you to come, part of the conditions. But when you talk about going to a retreat, it's just an idea, just an idea.
Maybe not even going to retreat, because the first way I came to Buddhism was a Sunday night meeting where there was a mix of Dharma teaching and sitting. And I mean, I wouldn't even be interested in Buddhism but for that, but for the
meditation. I think what we're talking about, though, is the development of understanding of Dhammas.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only question, really,
and,
isn't it?
And so, whether you can assist it along.
Right.
Your goal is not the dedication of the self, but wanting to experience Nibbana, right?
Nibbana is said to be the goal.
Yes, so you'd like to experience Nibbana, but not to eradicate the idea of self.
I'd like steps on the way. I think that's what it is. Mm. Otherwise, I just feel it's almost accidental. Like a measurement.
What steps have you been given to understand there are on the way?
The initial set of steps that I first ever heard about was to sit and meditate, but the other was to hear the Dharma and to reflect on it.
The question is whether can there be the experiencing of Nibbana without understanding reality at this moment?
I don't know.
What is closer, Nirvana or reality at this moment?
This moment.
Mm-hmm. If there is no understanding of a reality right now, can there be the understanding of other reality which one hopes to experience?
The common sense would say no.
Mm-hmm. So the path is very important, whether it's the right one or the wrong one. In order to experience the reality of Nibbana, it does mean that there is no understanding of reality right now. But it means that by understanding reality as it is, from moment to moment, from one characteristic to another characteristic, it can condition the elimination of the clinging to the idea of self, and even clinging to experience Nibbana.
I think my feeling that retreats were a good idea is because I don't come here on Saturdays. I come here twice a year, and a meditation retreat seemed a good idea. Go somewhere with a specialist teacher and, yeah.
Hear what? Listen, go to a retreat, yeah. And hear what?
Well, you do hear Dharma talks, and you receive instructions that seem to match some sutras.
Talk about what? Understanding reality right now, or no?
Not necessarily, but yeah. There are very few people that teach that. Most of Buddhism doesn't teach that. All of Buddhism doesn't teach that.
That's, do you see the value of that, understanding the present moment?
Yeah, I do. I do. But
if someone is teaching something other than understanding the present moment, why would that attract you?
Because they do teach. Teaching the present moment. We have to be accurate here. This is getting really confused. They do teach looking at the present moment. Other Buddhist teachers don't talk about looking at pictures or doing all sorts of funny things. Buddhism is still Buddhism. It's a matter of how they teach looking at the present moment or how they explain the present moment. So from her perspective, she's trying to get a chance feedback on this, but it's not like they're not teaching Buddhism, you know. It's a matter of interpretation. I'm not saying they're right or they're wrong, but they are talking about the present moment, and they are teaching methods to say, this will help you to understand the present moment, just like Achan is doing herself, and she's trying to evaluate the two different structures.
Do they teach detachment?
Hmm. Usually in a 10-day retreat, they go through a series of things, and often they might talk about the Eightfold Path, and detachment does get a talk. Yeah.
By understanding.
Yeah.
I met someone recently, which is quite interesting, you know. They were doing a particular Indian type of meditation. And they said that if they weren't doing that Indian type of meditation, for sure they would have committed suicide. For sure. Now, there is many different levels. For some people, they need to sit quietly in an environment where they're meditating, whatever they're doing, that in itself keeps them...
By right understanding, by their nature, or by wrong understanding?
Well,
sit.
It may be by wrong understanding, mm-hmm. but it keeps them alive. They're at least sitting quietly and clearing their mind out for something.
Samsara, not just this life.
Well, even if they die, they're going to still be in samsara. It's better to keep the body you've got than to lose it. It's like when you're sick, you take a pill. I mean, why take a pill? It's not going to cure anything. It's just going to cure the body. So a lot of these things can also be coping mechanisms as well. People need to be able to cope.
With right or wrong understanding?
Well, one hopes with right, but I suspect often it's with wrong understanding, but they're coping. And when we say right or wrong understanding, I think we have to be also, it's graduated as well. It is not all right and is not all wrong. It is not like that. Sometimes it's wrong, but there's some right understanding. Sometimes it's wrong understanding. It's like there's degrees.
But what about really understand the right path and know that it is the understanding of reality little by little, so that one will be very well established on the right path?
I don't disagree with that, but we're talking about individual people.
So
not everyone is the same.
So should we know what the right path is and what the wrong path is? Otherwise, we might follow the wrong path and take it for the right one. In Tipitaka, it also says about the 8 wrong paths and the 8 right paths. This is very important too. Otherwise, we will take the wrong for the right. Otherwise, Buddha wouldn't mention that.
What are the 8 wrong paths?
The same, but wrong.
Same, but the opposite.
Right.
The opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the understanding, one, presuming that one has the understanding, then one can do what one wants then. One can go and sit quietly if someone wants to.
One knows when it's nature.